Okay, this is the Ohio Writers Guild, and we are talking with Cherie Postol and Sandy Kachurik this evening. And I am Kathy Benner. I am your host, and Sandy is my co-host. And we get to learn all about Cherie this evening. So I want to welcome those that are listening in. We have Deborah and Karen so far, and I'll watch for others to tap in. And so if you have any questions or any comments, please put those in the chat. And make sure when you put those in the chat, now for us, for those of us, make sure that you have it marked to everyone so that the folks out in the waiting area can see it. The folks in the waiting area, their questions will just come to us, just to host and panelists, but we want to make sure we answer to everyone so they can see our answers there. So with that, we're going to get started. Now, Cherie Postol is a published author of How to Train a Better Reader and Sell More Books. It's a nonfiction guide for writers, and it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Now, Cherie serves on the St. Louis Writers Guild. So welcome, because we're the Ohio Writers Guild. She is the VP of Contest. Is that right?
Yes,
the VP of Contest. Now, she's an active member of the St. Louis Publishers Association and Saturday Writers. Ms. Postol is also a marketing professional and a speaker. So gosh, this is amazing. When she's not writing or presenting workshops to writers, young and old, she enjoys time with friends and family, reading, teaching, camping, hiking, cooking, and helping aspiring writers. Now you can learn more about her writing at clpostol.com. She loves to connect with fellow readers and writers and welcomes your emails at Cherie@clpostal.com. And you can find out what she is up to on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So follow her. Now, we are recording this. And so at the end, for those of you that are listening, we do put all of the replays at kathybenner.com. And so I will put that in the chat as well for everyone. And so what you want to do, if you want to go back and listen to any of those replays, is that you simply go to kathybenner.com and you scroll down to the Ohio Writers Guild for the free meetups. And you can just tap through there and you can get all of our replays. And so don't feel like you have to take a lot of notes tonight. You're welcome to if you'd like, but you can just go and listen to the replay. And I'll put all of Cherie's contact information there in the replay as well. So we want to get started. And again, my background is as a passive income coach, and I have 8 different lanes. And this is one of my lanes, which is writing from anywhere in the world. Now, where I'm headed with this is that I do interview a different writer or author once a month here on Zoom on a virtual meetup. But I am also creating a course for those of you that want to write from anywhere in the world. And then ultimately, we will have a mastermind that all of you can tap into. And that way, if you want to dive a little deeper, you can tap into the mastermind. You'll find all of that on kathybenner.com. So before we get started with Cherie, I do want to turn it over to Sandy and let Sandy tell you a little bit about what she's doing and the meetups that she puts together. And she is the co-host of the Ohio Writers Guild. So Sandy, over to you.
Hi there. Thank you very much. I am a director of Into the Springs Writers Workshop, which meets about the first weekend in August every summer, and just finished mine this past not too long ago. And it's a matter of now, how do I keep it going? My group, those who attended this year, asked that if they could have some kind of a collective where they can, you know, say hi or what's going right or what's not going so right with them. So I've created a Facebook page for them, and it's been going very well. I'm setting up for next year. I have my 2 authors selected. And of course, that means zooming ahead to 2024 as well. So I've got an ear for that. I have found, I've been around because I'm also part of the Central Ohio Fiction Writers, which are basically romance writers, but other genres gathered together as well. We physically meet in person in Dayton and Columbus, Ohio, and on Zoom. So I was at the Cleveland Public Library, Cleveland, Ohio, this past weekend, representing Central Ohio Fiction Writers at a literary convention called Incubator. But again, always keeping my eyes and ears open for potential authors. And it's looking at it from a different perspective, because I've been a writer all my life. I've been an English teacher, seems like all my life. But looking at it from a director of a writer's group is something different and exciting as well. It's that different perspective that an author puts on. Mm-hmm. I look at websites. I look at what he, she, or they're involved in. So it's been fascinating, and I've enjoyed it a lot.
Sandy, thank you so much. Now, what are the dates coming up for your next event?
It's August 4th through the 6th at the Mills Park Hotel. And that was a big choice. It was a lot, because I was in a little community room for the first couple of years. And then I go, if I want to expand this, I've got to go to a hotel. And it was big time. It was like all I was missing was a wedding cake and a band. But it worked out really well. And I've got it's nice to, people can recognize it. And it's like having that web page where people will recognize you and they talk about brand and, what's going to connect you with your readers. And so it's the same. I can connect because people know the Mills Park Hotel, or they've heard of people who live in the area, because it's the home of Antioch University, Antioch College, which has a very lively background, and that's a part of it too.
And I love that whole area of Yellow Springs anyway. So for those of you that are listening, put that on your calendar. Oh,
thank you.
In Yellow Springs, August 4th through the 6th. So make a note of that and connect with Sandy if you want to learn more about that. So we would love to have you attend next year. We'd love to see you in person instead of just on the Zoom call. So yes, welcome. I am a published author as of September 6th. My book finally launched. Thank you. I'm so excited. And I get it. I mean, I did get it all along, but now that I'm published, I really get it. it's just such a feeling to finally be published. So I am on Amazon. I'm also on iBooks and everywhere that you can find the book. And my book is called, the title is Called to Speak, Lead, and Impact. Called to Speak, Lead, and Impact. And so anyway, it was a collaborative effort with some other authors and such a wonderful group of folks. And I am now published. So my book just came from Amazon just today, and I have not opened it yet. So it's still in the Amazon package. So how exciting. So anyway, we want to talk to Cherie. Now, what inspired you to write your first nonfiction book? We talked about how you are a published author of How to Train a Better Reader and Sell More Books. Now, what inspired you to write that?
It's my marketing background. And I just want to say, first of all, I'm really excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I lived in Ohio for 5 years in Strongsville, right up by Lake Erie.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have some wonderful childhood memories. My relatives live in Struthers and in Poland, Ohio. So yeah, I'm very happy. I know, right? It's just the world is a small place and we all connect like this, right?
I grew up in Youngstown, so I know the area well.
All right. Youngstown, Ohio. My grandparents literally lived across the street from the steel mills. I remember sitting on the front porch and watching the steel glow bright orange.
Wow, yeah.
So that was interesting. But I just wanted to let you know I have that little bit of a connection. That's another reason I'm excited to be here. I have a very, very long marketing background. I've worked with some of the most amazing companies on earth, the marketing giants like Anheuser-Busch, Ralston Purina, Rawlings Sporting Goods, corporate people, SBC, AT&T, that type thing. It was always about marketing and employee motivation. So I have a really good background in that, but I've always been a writer. My husband makes fun of some of the stuff I wrote when I was, in elementary school and middle school. So I was downsized out of corporate America, which turned out to be one of the best things that ever happened to me. At the time, it was devastating. But, I will always say this: strong women find a way to overcome. And when I look at my resume, even I am a little bit in awe, because I've done a lot of different things. And what I will say to everybody out there is, get out there and make yourself known and just do it. Don't be afraid at any age. Mm-hmm. Follow your dream and your passion. So here I went and I said, I'm going to write. And I wrote a beautiful mid-grade, they call it an accessible sci-fi. It's a very high adventure. I loved it. And I went out and I said, well, I know exactly what I need to do now. I need to go test this book, because in my world, it wasn't an option to beta test something. Everything, whether it was beer, ice cream, a baseball mitt, it didn't matter. You beta tested. So I just assumed the writing community was so generous. I always reached out and found anything I needed pretty much for free. There's so many amazing resources and people that are willing to give up their time. So I was going to conferences and I was doing a lot of my own book writing. I had 3 books in a series done. And here's what I kept hearing at conferences. Someone would say to me, well, I'm just ready to give up. I mean, I put my book out there. I published it. I'm not getting any sales. Yeah. And it was just such a common thing. And I saw people's heart being broken. And oh, by the way, authors are one of my favorite people in the whole world. I love creatives. So yeah, I thought, well, something's wrong. Something's not working. So I would say to an author, well, what have you done to make sure that your book was publication ready? And they'd say, well, you know, I gave it to my mother and my father and my uncle and my brother and my neighbors and my cousins and my uncles. They all loved it. And I'd say, well, what did they love about it? Well, I mean, they just like my book, but what did they love about it? Well, did you ask them any? I don't know. I didn't ask. Really? So then I'd talk to another author and I'd say, so what's, you know, how's your book going? Well, you know, my readers just don't seem to be picking it up very well. And I don't understand why. And I thought, this is really hurting a lot of people. There must be a reason for this. And what I found was that authors have no idea what it means to beta test a product. Now, if I say beta test in the sense of, say, a video game, people get that because they beta test all kinds of things all the time. They put it out there, make sure the audience it's intended for, and that's important, loves the product. Authors had no idea how to do that. And they weren't networking. They weren't getting feedback. In marketing, I mean, our big thing was get feedback from everybody.
Yeah.
Was it horrible? Did you like it? Was it good? Give us feedback. And authors didn't know how to do that. So they were publishing too early.
So well, some of them are afraid of the feedback.
Yes.
Because some of them are they're putting their product out there and they're maybe feeling a little insecure about their writing if this is maybe their first book. And so sometimes they're a little thin-skinned and they don't take the constructive feedback as well as they might. So I think sometimes they're hesitant to ask.
Oh, do tell. I mean, I know this for a fact. These are our babies. We create these products. Some of us spend years creating these beautiful stories and books. We put it into a novel form. But a lot of the writers that I dealt with just simply didn't know when to start. And here's what I'm going to tell anybody that's writing a book. Start the day you begin your book. You must have feedback. You've got to get that. And what happens is you become very accessible to other people and they will give you the feedback that you need. It is really hard to take your child out somewhere and say, have somebody say, well, that's about the ugliest child I've ever seen. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Because that's what it feels like when somebody criticizes your work. Now, I deal with a lot of young writers. I mentor high school writers every summer. I do young writers workshops. I've expanded the youth programming for the Guild here in St. Louis. And what I found is they are very, very brazen. They love feedback. So I took a lot of what I found from them and I started teaching authors, mostly adults. And I would say to them, you have to know what you need in feedback. And they'd say, well, I did. I gave it to them. And I said, but you wait months and months for someone to read your book, right? Maybe weeks, it depends on how good they are at it. And then they give it back to you and you say, well, okay, what'd you think? And here's what they get. It was all right. Or I liked it. Or yeah, it was fun. So where are you now? You waited weeks and weeks for feedback and what you got was nothing. More of an opinion than anything. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. And then here's another huge mistake that writers make. They'll let anybody just read my book. Please read my book, right? The problem is they give it to somebody that's never read a cozy romance or somebody that's never read a murder mystery or somebody that's never read a sci-fi. They have no way to compare it. Or I had one writer say, well, I gave it to this person and they never even responded. And then they came to find out the last time this person read a book was in college. Okay. Not everybody's a reader, ladies and gentlemen. They're just not. You need to find your special place and get those readers. So, long story short, I never intended on writing a nonfiction book. Never. Except so many people were asking, and this community has got my heart, mm-hmm. and I wanted to give back. I wanted to share. So I do workshops all over the country for guilds, like the Ohio Writers Guild, the Maine Writers Guild, St. Louis Writers Guild. My workshops for writers are free at this point. I walk them through the process. First of all, when you hand somebody your book to get feedback, it shouldn't be the first time you've gotten feedback, okay? You should be getting feedback all along with the process. Let me give you a really heartbreaking example. Wonderful, and I deal with hundreds of writers. Young writer, really cool fantasy. It's like a horror fantasy. It's an interesting genre. Mm-hmm. But he wrote it in 60,000 words. Now, any of you that are familiar with word count out there in the world of writing knows that adults don't read that. That's almost like a novella almost. It's too short.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Okay. There you go. Thank you very
Especially
much.
Especially in the fantasy sci-fi world.
Yes.
So Sandy, romance different, but not in sci-fi fantasy.
So Sandy, you and I know that, but this young writer didn't know that. And so he couldn't figure out why he was getting zero feedback from his queries and from his, when he was doing publishers and traditional.
He was querying it. Wow.
Yes. So, and then flip side of that, got a writer that's writing middle grade, 133,000 word per novel. See what I'm saying? So you do your homework, you reach out, you find out about your genre. Everything you can. Then you look for the pool of beta readers. Okay, for me, because I write middle grade, I do all those workshops. I'm now a liaison for 21 school districts. So I reach out, we do writing contests, I go do presentations. It's just amazing. I'm always in touch with my beta readers. So let's talk about that because it was the biggest problem I had. This community had no idea what a beta reader was.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So in almost every profession, to go from novice to proficient, it takes blocks of information. No matter what it is, doctor, lawyer, writer, there are blocks that we all go through. This one is missing, this huge block. It's not with best-selling authors. It's not with people that know what they're doing. Literary professionals know exactly what a beta reader is. It is not a literary professional. It is not your critique partner, not necessarily your mother, your aunt, your father, or your brother. Mm-hmm. It is people that read your genre regularly.
So, how do you find those folks though? I mean, is there a way to find those folks that is easy for say a novice writer?
Absolutely. I feel like the Wizard of Oz here, click my heels. Never go past your own backyard. First of all, I live in a small town, but I have, even in just this small town, the grocery store has a billboard. The auto mechanic has a whole bunch of books sitting behind there so that when you're waiting, the men and ladies can pick books. Our chiropractor has one of those round things for the library. My main street has a little wooden thing that someone made to share books. I took a flyer. I wrote out what I needed. I need beta readers. I made it look real pretty with a little graphics, and I am not good at that. And I simply asked for beta readers. It's an amazing thing about readers. They're social. They love to read. And the idea of reading a manuscript that's not even published is exciting. It's truly exciting for them and it's engaging, right? So that's one way to find them. Look for your own backyard. I am middle grade. So because of my associations, I'm in touch with these folks. The first time I went to a fourth grade class and asked the teacher for a beta reader, there was a competition and some feelings got hurt. Everybody wanted to do it. I was just so thrilled. I mean, it's just such a compliment. But we only picked two and I let the teacher do that. So I wasn't the bad guy. Exceptional readers. She knew what kind of response I would get from them. And so then I realized the big missing thing here was a process for all of you. You found your beta readers. One more thing. If you can go to a senior center, if you're writing murder mysteries or thrillers, most of the senior centers have what they call program coordinators or event coordinators. They love to bring in authors. Nobody ever approaches these people. An author? Yeah, because a lot of them have book clubs. So there you go. Book clubs love, and let me tell you, I've gotten some great feedback from senior citizens that about, because they read a ton of those and they compare the books for me. They tell my, not mine, because I don't write that joint, but the authors that have gotten in there. Now, my little readers give me amazing feedback, and I'm going to show you how I do that in a minute. Questions about where to find. I don't want to move on to another subject until where else you can find beta reader. Colleges is a great place. I've written letters to college professors that said you are special creative writing. Learning to do a book critique is really important for some of their classes. So giving them an unpublished manuscript to critique is very valuable to them. And I give them, I give them a format to follow as well. So I just started, you know, digging in to find my readers. You know, it's I don't know if you like to fish. When you go fishing for a certain kind of fish, you can fish all day and catch nothing. Next day, you'll get, and then all of a sudden you find a pool, not just of fish, the ones you wanted. So just keep trying. I tell everybody that I'm a writer, everybody. So I find out that my dental hygienist has two daughters that love to read. There's my beta readers. Okay. They're 9 to 13 years old. Boom, got a beta. So you never know where you're going to find your beta readers, but it's important to understand what they are. They are average readers in your genre. Okay.
Now, how many do you need when you're putting together, say, a new book that you want to get published? How many do you need to get feedback from?
That's an excellent question. It's hard to get beta readers because it is a commitment. I say 4, and I only use 2 at a time. The reason I do that, and sometimes I'll use all 4, is a lot of times you're going to get a second round of beta readers. Because if you get a lot of feedback and you make a lot of changes in your book based on your feedback, you might want to get more beta readers. Now, best-selling authors have 20 and 30 beta readers for every book.
Okay.
Yeah, when I went and visited with, who was it? It wasn't Rick Riordan, I think it was Ridley Pearson. They both write mid-grade. And sitting up front were 6 young people with him during the presentation. First thing he did was introduce them as his beta readers. That really had an impact on me because I said, wow, here's a man that is so successful. He writes for Disney. He writes his own ticket. He's written literally 50, 60 books. And he's very, very firm about how important it is to have a beta reader. So I thought, well, that's going to have to be me. So, yeah.
I love that. Deborah wants to know, would web forums like goodreads.com be a potential source for beta readers?
Very smart question. Yes. In fact, Goodreads has, if you do Goodreads/beta reader, they have a beta reader club. Okay. You have to be careful because you don't want, again, just anybody. For instance, I would not beta read somebody's horror, like gothic horror. Okay. I don't read it. I don't like it. I have nothing to compare it to. So I'm not a beta reader for that genre. Okay. So just wherever you go, whether it be Fiverr, whether you go to Goodreads, whether you go to Writer's Digest and look for them online, social media, make sure that they are a reader of your genre first. I like my neighborhood because I've always found a lot of people, and I get to meet with them in person, or I do a Zoom meeting with them and I get to speak with them after they've done the beta reading. And then we get a lot of great feedback that way.
Yeah, that's good.
Hope that answers the question. Any other questions?
Yes. Yeah. Now, again, when you're talking about a beta reader, you say that you have some sort of a form or something that so that you're getting some of the same information across the board, and it's not just kind of haphazard, information back to you. It's something that you actually can use as a comparison to help improve your writing. Am I correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
That was probably the bulk of my research went into interviewing beta readers and authors and finding out what information is really truly needed by a writer to improve their book, whether it be the shape of the story, the character development, the show don't tell, the pacing, the syntax. You're going to get all that from a beta reader and they don't even know it. Okay. Because I'm going to show you how to do that in a minute. It's just not that difficult. Okay. But here's the problem. The beta readers were terrified. Does that surprise you?
No.
Everybody says, what would they say? Yeah. Well, because they look at us, we're authors. It's like, they really think it's a cool thing. And that's fun, right? Avid readers just admire the heck out of authors. So when I handed someone my book and said, I'd like you to be my beta reader, they wanted to crawl under the table because they had no idea what I wanted from them. Not a clue. So they went, okay. I have developed, and it's free on my website, a beta reader questionnaire. Here's the only rule anybody needs to know that's writing. Never publish until you've had your feedback, and never hand your book to anybody, even a professional literary professional, without a list of questions. So the most important thing that you ask a beta reader is, and it's actually pretty simple, where did you stop? Anytime you stop, I want to know about it. So I took that and I created a beta reader toolkit. Yeah, I know. It sounds like fun, doesn't it? It really is.
Yeah.
It's a printed manuscript. It's a bunch of colorful. It's got a, let me see. This is a mechanical pencil. I put highlighters. I put post-it flags. I put post-it notes. I put them in a little Ziploc baggie. This is nothing special or professional here. I put them in a Ziploc baggie and I send them off with my printed manuscript, always printed. Because here's what I found. Not everybody's good at doing electronic edits. People forget they're doing it and they just read and they forget to, and then they have to go back. You hand somebody a pencil and something printed and they are going to draw faces on it. They're going to make notes on it. They're going to stop and talk about it. And I give them a guided questionnaire. And I ask them, read through this twice and then get rid of it. Put it aside. This is not an open book test. Okay. We're not in school here. What I need to know from you, sorry about that. What I need to know from you is these few things. And hopefully by the time we're done with those, you're going to get an idea. So the beta readers were just thrilled that I was able to actually give them a guide.
Okay.
So, and I gave them the pencils and I gave them the post-it notes. Plus, when I send my manuscript out, if I ship it, I include a prepaid return address, a label, all they have, and a little sack inside. All they have to do when they finish it is drop it in, zip it, and send it back to me with the questionnaire and my answers. And it gets even better than that. Not only do they guide me with my plot twists, I use the Cuba method. I'm not sure people are familiar with that. If it's confusing, unbelievable, boring, or awkward, they can understand that. I say just mark it and get rid of it. I get the greatest notes in my books. I get things like, if you kill the dog, I'm never going to talk to you again. I can't believe you did this to this character. Will this, you know, so I get to know, think about that. For writers that want a deeper understanding of how your reader perceives your story, this is the answer. Because they're thinking about these things. You've planted the question. Where did you stop? Who was your favorite character? Did you find anything confusing? One of my favorite questions is, did anything surprise you? I get some great answers to. So by the time we're done, I wind up with something that looks like, and I'm going to show you this, don't get scared, because it looks like an international flag. Looks like somebody went through this. I mean, seriously, what a mess, right?
Flag I love it.
Everywhere. Yeah. My beta reader made comments in here. She picked out different things. I love this character, she says. Can I post this quote on social media? I like it so much. This was confusing. I need a family tree. That was embarrassing. Okay. So, but all of this, this is my third round of beta readers on this particular manuscript. And now it's ready. In my opinion, now it's ready. Okay. Because I've also done my author edits on it. But because this beta reader had a guide and knew exactly what I expected, it also increases the number of returns I get. Mm-hmm. Something about giving somebody a printed manuscript and a little kit, it lends purchase to it. Okay. It's so easy to email a file to somebody. And I don't know about you guys, but by the end of the week, I'm deleting emails. I'm slashing like a bad movie because I don't have time to read them. Right. So if that sits in my inbox for too long, I may or may not read it all. And I may read part of it and not all of it. But if it's sitting here, it takes a lot more conscious effort to take this and dump it in a recycling bin, right? Mm-hmm. So I get better response rates. Okay.
No. I love that. I love everything about this conversation because I am a brand new author. So I am just getting started and I do want to write some nonfiction. But then I also want to write some fiction. And so as I go along, this is going to be so helpful. So I hope those of you that are listening are finding this to be very helpful. I did put in the chat how to get to Cherie's website. And also look for that beta reader toolkit over there.
Yeah, the download is on the, I put it right on the front page. It just says free download. That's going to give you a questionnaire and it's in a PDF form. So you'll probably want to convert it. If you want a Word doc of that you can easily, because you're going to want to customize that to your genre. Okay. just email me and put beta and just put beta reader questionnaire in the subject line. And I will flip you off a real quick, same thing that you're getting online. It's probably a little updated, but it'll be in a Word doc form so they can actually customize that to whether it be romance or thriller, because you're going to want to ask very specific questions to the reader about your specific book. And then it gets even better because I'm a marketing hound. So I couldn't tear myself away from that need to get more information. So another thing I find that authors need, really need, is reviews, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, okay, so what do you think one of the questions is on my questionnaire? I ask my beta readers, right? Now that you're done, would you please write me a couple sentence review? Because it doesn't matter how long it is. We all know this, right? Amazon doesn't care. It doesn't make any impact. It's just that you have that qualified review. So I get them to write me reviews in my questionnaire. It's awesome. And then I say to them, well, you know, we'll talk about posting that at a later date. Then I realize what authors need also. And if you're, no matter whether you're going to publishing, whether you're traditional, you're going to have to be able to describe your book to your readers. I call it the elevator speech. So if I meet you on the street and I'm an avid reader, I want to know, what's your book about? How quickly can I get that? You know, what do you think? So what do you think? One of my questions to my beta readers is, what are you currently reading? And what would you compare my book to? We call those book comps. Okay. Everybody needs comprehensive. What is your book like? Is it, you know, Percy Jackson meets, you know, Harry Potter? Is it Gone Girl meets, you know, you need to know what that is. And everybody wants current stuff. Well, your beta readers are current. They're reading these things, right? So now you've got book comps, you've got reviews. And then another thing that authors need to know, when you publish on Amazon, your keywords are going to be really important. I was a number one Amazon bestseller, thank you very much, the day I launched my book. The reason I was is because I understand keywords. But you need to know, all it means is, what are people searching for? If I'm writing a cozy mystery, I want to know, what are people searching for? You would be surprised at how specific readers get. They're looking for a beach romance that involves, I'm not with a dog. People really do. So you want to know those things, right? So what do? I include it as one of the questions for my beta readers. When you go to look for a book, where do you go? Number one, where do you go? I want to know where they're going because I want my book there. Number one. And number two, what keywords do you put in? How do you search? And it doesn't matter if it's fiction or nonfiction, because if you're writing a nonfiction book, you're going to do the same beta reader process. You're going to find professionals in that field. You're going to find people that need that. If you're a wellness coach, you're going to want to find people that are on board having a wellness coach, let them read it, see what they think of your book, and answer all those questions for you. What was confusing? What didn't you like? What inspired you about me being your coach? Why would you go get a coach? So it doesn't matter whether it's fiction or nonfiction. Asking the right questions gets you this amazing feedback. We tested so many things. I mean, from beer, but the one that really stood out to me that was just so funny was, we were testing ice cream, okay? And we were proving to people how preconceived ideas work amongst people. So on one side of the grocery store, we had salmon flavored ice cream. Yes, it's just, yuck, right? But the same product over in the seafood section, which was frozen also, was a salmon spread for crackers. So on this side of the store, we said, try this. And everybody expected it to be sweet and creamy, right? Because it's ice cream. Some people actually spit it out. I mean, it was just great. And we explained it to them. They laughed. Then people over in the seafood were selling the heck out of this stuff. It is really delicious, but not if you expect it to be sweet and creamy. So what I'm talking about here is reader expectations. Don't give your book to somebody that's never tasted a murder mystery. They have no way of comparing it to anything else. I want people that say, oh gosh, this reminds me of A, B, C, and D. Or I got this feeling from it, or I got that feeling from it. I wrote a book and I got to tell you, I was thrilled. Here's what she wrote. This is the sci-fi of Percy Jackson. Yeah. I had a glass of wine that night, right? You don't use it in your queries. It sounds a bit big-headed, but on the flip side of that, I knew exactly where my beta reader was coming from and what she thought about my book. So there you go. And lots of little things inside. Some of them are just so savvy. They pick out things like repetitive words, plot holes, Mm-hmm. I'm famous for that. I critique manuscripts, and I do developmental critiques. And you will never get a plot hole past me. You will never get a confusion. If you're in a room and there's a fire burning behind you and you say that the only light was the flicker from a candle on the table, I'm going to call you on that. And I'm going to say, what about the fire that's burning in the fireplace? Oh, that's right. So that's fun things, because you don't want to lose credibility with your readers. Mm-hmm. I know in my workshop, I talk about the guy that walks into McDonald's and orders a Whopper. Yeah, what's mm-hmm. the They don't sell Whoppers. They sell them at Burger King. McDonald's is the home of the Big Mac, right? But authors sometimes make these little mistakes, and it's so much more fun to be embarrassed by a beta reader mm-hmm. than by an actual reviewer and publisher book.
Yeah.
Now, again, I'm still a little confused where I find the beta reader as I write in different genres. How do I find those folks?
Okay. Again, depending on your genre. If you're doing nonfiction, you obviously have to go into a professional field where that would be appropriate. If you're writing about dogs, go to a couple of trainers, find out who's going there, who's taking their dogs to those trainers. People love to write books about dogs and trainers and how to get your dog to do this and do that. So there would be your beta readers right there. You go to a class and you find all these people and you walk around and you say, hey, how long have you had this puppy? How's it going with that? You know what? I just wrote a book about training them to do this, this, and that. Boom, you've got your beta readers right there. It's fun because they're already involved in that. Girlfriend of mine is very much into equestrian. She's a writer. She's also, believe it or not, she's an equestrian chiropractor. I know, right? She crawls up on the backs of horses and literally does, and it works. These horses just love it. So I said to her, you need to write a book. She said, why? I said, because it's like rocket fuel. If you've got a business, so mm-hmm. here we're flipping here, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the business side of writing, right? Because there's a ton of it over there.
This is your marketing shining through, I can tell.
So here's my How to Train a Beta Reader, right? Which this uh-huh. is going to get renamed because nobody knows what a beta reader is. My launch was done very quickly. I wanted to see how it would go out there. This is going to be retitled and it will be relaunched. So that'll be a fun project for me. But seriously, you have to, now I forgot what I was even going to talk about. Yeah, well.
You were talking about the marketing aspect.
Yeah, because you know, you got to get out there and make sure everybody knows what you're doing. So finding your beta readers. Okay, so there's dogs. Let's talk about your writing. I love cozy mysteries and cozy romance because I'm one of those people. I write mid-grade. Everything has to turn out okay or I'm not happy. I don't like books that make me sad. Okay, I just don't read them. Why bother? And there's enough crazy people in the world. I don't need to read about crazy people, but I do love psychological thrillers sometimes. So it depends on how it's written. Again, I found senior centers to be an excellent source for book clubs, the library. Librarians love writers. They're stars, okay? So when I went to the local library and I said, hey, you know what? I just wrote this book. What do you think about beta readers? She wanted to be a beta reader. And I said, well, it's a mid-grade book. You know, so I have a daughter. She almost didn't want me to go away without saying, okay, you'll do this, right? So I found the library, ask the librarian. And don't just go to the main libraries. There's also a lot of libraries aren't public. If you have access to schools, if you have kids in school, if you have, whether it be high school, middle school, college, they have librarians too. And there's lots of people reading on campus. So find out if you can get a relationship with them. Again, I put flyers in everywhere, you name it. And I would get a phone call or I put my email on there and it was neighbors, friends, neighbors, not that I knew them, but they were local people that said, oh my gosh, I've read, you know, all these, I've read every James Michener book out there or every Clive Cussler or every Nora Roberts. And then I know what they're talking about and who to pair them with. Mm-hmm. As a the misconception that beta reading is hard or I have writers say to me all the time, oh, you know, gosh, I just hate to ask people to do this. I mean, it's a lot of work. And ladies, it's about bragging rights, okay? Beta readers want bragging rights. I want you to be a best-selling author because I'm going to be saying, I did the beta reading for that. And I can tell you what that feels like because I was a reader for Nicole Evelina. If you don't know who she is, she's won 37 literary awards or more. I could be wrong. She wrote a trilogy that I fell in love with. It's Arthurian history, and it's about Guinevere. She's the main character. It's all from her point of view. Couldn't wait to go to Camelot every day, every day. But as I'm reading through, I get to her third book is just about to come out, and I find a major plot hole in my reader point of view. Mm-hmm. I want to know about this baby that doesn't get born. So, and I'm really into Arthurian history. So I'm like, wait a second. Morgan of the Fae is going to have a baby. I need to know about that. She's evil, right? Mm-hmm. She, fortunately, I emailed her and she was able to quickly change that. But guess what? If you Google my name, I'm paired now with Nicole Evelina for the rest of my life, a best-selling author. And in her book, I thought I would faint. In her book, right in the front, it says, thank you to Cherie Postal. Holy mackerel. Okay. Didn't even need to go any further. So don't take the attitude that beta readers is work. They love to do this. They want to help you. And if you treat it like that, then they will too. Because there's nothing more exciting than bragging rights. To say, yeah, I helped do that. You know, yeah, I did that, right? Or
yeah. I get it. I was asked to write the foreword on a couple of books. And of course I brag about that every chance I get. Right. So I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. I was asked to do the blurb on a book cover. And I thought, wow, that is just so special to me. I consider it a privilege because I know what it takes to write both fiction and nonfiction. On the nonfiction side, it's all about organization, putting your chapters together, making sure the flow works, but also interjecting a lot of fun things. When I wrote this book, people, one of the responses I get is it's fun to read. I like your conversational type of writing. Because I didn't want it to be boring. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all writers and we try so hard to get it all right. And so really this is my way of saying I'm giving it back. I want to pay back to writers, but it's just such a huge issue in the writing community. They don't understand feedback. They don't do it soon enough. People aren't reaching out on time or they're giving it to relatives, which is wonderful. Let everybody that loves you read your stuff because you know what? We all need cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. So let them be a cheerleader, but don't burden them with trying to be a coach or helping you with your book. Most people, beta readers especially, they don't really understand syntax. They don't understand plot holes. But if you ask the right questions, they give you all that information. You know, when I asked, who was the favorite character? I was devastated. I had 5 beta readers. Not one of them picked them. Well, one picked the main character. So I called my book coach and I said, oh my God, I'm just done. Nobody likes my main character. And she said, so what? Look at Star Wars. Look at all. And she named a bunch of really famous things. And the main character is not the favorite. Okay. So I thought, okay, as long as they're well developed. Yeah, as long as they're well developed. And the reader wants to follow them through. It doesn't matter if they're a little sidekick or if one of their friends, you know, I love Harry Potter, but Harry's not my favorite character. I admit that, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not. My son says Voldemort's his favorite character. I'm like, that's nasty. But again, it's just a matter of making sure that you understand all of that. And writers just don't reach out. It's devastating. Okay, I'm going to admit this. Probably first time I've ever admitted this in public. I cried at my first book critique, because it was done by a very professional Washington University type person. And I just think the world of her, and the first words out of her mouth, a critique this thick, your book's not publishable. I know, right? So then I stopped crying and we talked, and I just respect the heck out of her now for what she did for me and show, because she's right. That was a long, long time ago in a world far, far away. But I know what it feels like you have to be sensitive. I mean, like I said, I mentor high school students. So I just did 6 weeks with a young man that wrote 37 chapter high fantasy. Oh, it was, yeah, I'm used to like short stories or 5 chapters, but we took it on, me and a friend of mine, and we critiqued the whole thing. It was the most inspiring thing I've ever done, is watching his manuscript go from all this telling and poor syntax to just a beautiful piece. And now it's absolutely ready to go to an editor and it could be publication ready. But he never reached out. So one of the comments he made to me was, wow, Mrs. Postal, I wish I would have reached out a long time ago, because I would have started writing more show, less tell. I would have understood that I needed flow. So the craft of writing was what was escaping. I'll tell you what, he picked it up really fast.
Yeah.
So you did a good job. But again, when you reach out, when you ask, you get a lot of great feedback. And then you get stuff that you should just completely ignore. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's learning how to discern the difference.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Most of the time with beta readers, you do a grid and you look for commonalities of things that were an issue or common, but you know, it's not all about criticism. I mean, there's just nothing more fun than some of these comments that you get in your book about, okay, so when we did, my girlfriend writes, she writes scary stories. So I don't read her stories because they scare me. But the questions we came up with for her beta reader got her some amazing feedback. When did you have to stop reading and turn on the lights? Yeah. Was there any point where you had to get up and lock the doors? Because this is that kind of book where the guy stops on the side of the road. It's real creepy. Yeah. So she got some great feedback from people and figured out how to have more of an impact when she was writing. And it really took her writing to the next level. And I think beta readers do that. We all need professionals. I mean, editors are worth every nickel. Oh my gosh, I'm a terrible editor. You do not want, I don't know what a comma is. I don't know where it goes. Mm-hmm. I just write fearlessly. I get my drafts out. I do my author edits. I can tell you about structure. I can tell you about syntax. I can tell you show, don't tell. I do workshops on those, but I am not an editor. So you need an editor and you need feedback. And that's yes. That's my soapbox. I mean, I do conferences all over the country. Next month, I'll be at the Writer's Day workshop in Minnesota. It's a full day workshop, full day conference, actually, with lots of different agents and different people. And that's the same thing. It's just like a broken record. You need to get your feedback. You need to know the rules of your genre, first of all. How many words should I have in it? Romance, I mean, is like amazingly, it's just this structure that every reader expects. And you do not break that promise to the reader or you're never going to get followers, right?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a great example of knowing before you put the product out. I knew nobody wanted salmon flavored ice cream, right? But the whole experiment worked really well for us just to show people what expectations mean to people. And as authors, our readers have very definitive expectations. And, you know, fair or not, if they don't like the first book, chances are they're not going to follow you. And that's what you want. You want them anticipating that next book. I don't care if it's fiction or nonfiction. You need that. In nonfiction, it's credibility. Oh, right. You wrote the book. So if you're doing a counseling business, if you're competing for a speaking position, and you can walk in there and say, well, here, let me give you one of these. They go, oh, you wrote the book. Yeah, sure did. And you know what? It gives you, you will wind up a little bit higher than the next person that didn't write the book, right?
And yep, I get that.
A lot of nonfiction books are ghost written too.
Yeah.
Deborah wants to know which people in your book publishing support network get paid, for example, in cash, and which get paid in bragging rights or acknowledgements.
Yeah, I try not to pay beta readers. I don't like to pay beta readers, but on the flip side of that, would I pay a beta reader? Absolutely. I pay editors. I pay book design. I do not design my own interiors. I do not design my own covers. I pay the right people. In my opinion, there are certain things you outsource. I'm not good at that. I also found out that the conversion from a print to an ebook is really important. Because if you just take a regular file and try and EPUB it, it's a mess because they scroll, they don't do page. I don't know anything about it really, but I do know if it's not done right, readers are real turned off by that. So I do the interior, I do the exterior. I pay somebody, I don't normally pay beta readers, but editors are high on my list of, you know, let's get paid to do the editing. That would be important as well. So
now, how long did it actually take you to complete your book? How to Train a Beta Reader. How long did it take you to actually complete that?
7 months.
7 months. Okay. Yeah. And did you self-publish it then when you were ready?
Absolutely. In 7 months, I had it completely finished. The drafts were done. It had been edited. I had my designers, my cover, everything, and I was ready to launch on. And it's just not that difficult. You create an author profile on Amazon and boom, you're up there. Don't put dates in there. They don't pay any attention to my dates. I'll say, don't launch until this day. Do not put anything on Amazon until you're ready to launch. Because all of a sudden you wake up the next morning, your book's there. And you're thinking, oh, that's nice. I haven't even launched it. So there's some things you need to know about Amazon and how to do the keywords and what to put up there, how to put your bio up, follow authors on Amazon. A lot of people don't know you can follow an author on Amazon as well. That also has a big impact. And then, you know, of course, there's always getting the reviews, which mm-hmm. your beta readers are going to be your first pool of reviews. Mm-hmm. And, you know, readers are very social. I ask my beta readers not to share my manuscript with anyone, not because I care that anybody else, but I want people to read it. I want to know who's reading it mm-hmm. so I can get their feedback. You know, if you're going to read my manuscript before it's published, here, take my questionnaire first, because it doesn't do me any good. Because I've had several beta readers, kids are like that, they want to share it. And I've said, fine, create a kit for them and send it to their friend and said, here, let them do this then, because otherwise I don't get a lot of feedback. And just saying it was great or wonderful, that's not feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and that's what most authors get. They get like, oh, it was good. I liked it. It was okay. But have you ever picked up a book and read it and not known why you didn't like it?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But as you critique, the more you critique other people's work, and when you get to that 100, 140 manuscript mark, you start to realize exactly why you don't like it. Either you realize that they're writing in the passive voice through the entire book. They flip points of views here and there. See, this is the problem with being professional literary, because now you see all these things. So sometimes it's hard to just read a book and enjoy it. But I make that mindset. I say, no, I'm not going to critique this book. I'm just going to read it. And I'm going to enjoy the book. I'm just going to really have a good time with it. But you'll know after you've done enough beta reading. And even after you see the questionnaire, you're going to realize why a book you don't like. I picked up a book about a month ago at a book fair. It was independently published. This is one of my pet peeves. It was not publication ready. It just wasn't. There was a story in there somewhere. But the passive voice, it would flip from passive to active. And this is not about tense. This is passive active voice. Mm-hmm. Point of view was flipping from place to and telling. Oh my gosh. I was being told every single thing when I don't need to be told. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting how I knew immediately why I didn't like the book. And but the sad part about it was the story's good. Mm-hmm. She could have really had a wonderful, and it's the first in a, unfortunately, a trilogy. And I know, I just have a feeling what's going to happen is all those 5-star reviews came from people she knew. Mm-hmm. And when that second one launches, they're all going to disappear.
And the whole trilogy is going to kind of fizzle by the time she gets to the end of that.
Or I could be completely wrong. And in 7 years, there'll be a blockbuster movie. That is how subjective this business is.
I get it. How much did it actually cost you to publish the book since you self-published?
$1,200.
$1,200.
I know exactly what it cost me. I know what I paid for my designer, my book cover, my editor. It was $1,200 from start to finish was what I did. And I, boom, up there. You can do it so cheaper.
So you outsourced like your cover and editing. What else?
Interior design and EPUB conversion.
Okay.
Yeah, because I wanted to make sure my conversion was good from print to EPUB, and it worked out really well. So, and actually I lucked out on this one because I include that money, but my editor, I paid my editor, but I wouldn't have had to. I mean, I'm in the writing community. I had people that reached out and said they would edit it for free, which just, I love it. So yeah, take advantage. If they're a professional editor and they offer to do it, absolutely. There's another technique that we haven't talked about in beta reading that might be usable for some people. I caution on it. I get the question a lot. Do you ever send out chapters to beta readers rather than the whole book? Wow. I don't. If you want feedback, you don't need beta readers the first 5 chapters or the first 10. You need more of your critique group or somebody that can more guide you. Beta readers are there this is my opinion. Beta readers are there for a complete manuscript, start to finish story. Because what are the chances that you're going to be able to go back to that beta reader 8 months later when you're done with the book? Yeah, probably not. You want to give it all at once. You don't want to do 5 chapters here and 5 chapters there and 5 chapters. They're going to forget. There's no continuity. It doesn't engage them in the story and make them want to read it. So, but it is a technique I've seen used where people have gone out to beta readers and just wanted them to read the first couple chapters to see if I'm on the right track is what I hear. Am I on the right track? Okay. So that is something that you can do. It's probably more useful in nonfiction. Because I did go to beta, I consider anybody that writes a beta reader for this, because obviously they're writing, And I did reach out to some writers and let them read the first like five chapters. And I just wanted to see her voice was good. You know, I wanted it to be lighthearted and easy to read, but with lots of good stuff in there, lots of good marketing tips, lots of places where to find your beta readers, how to find your beta readers, how to ask the right questions. Somebody the other day said to me, how do I get into the elementary school? I said, you don't. I said, what, do you want to get arrested? I said, don't even ask that question in public. They said, well, how do you get in? I said, look at me, okay? I'm a teacher's pet, okay? I do tutoring. I get to know the librarian. I get to know the teachers. You know, it's just, I've gotten into that community and they trust me. So I can get into the school. Now, my husband would say that and I'd say, you're going to get arrested if you try and get in the elementary school or the middle school. So yeah, you need to figure out how to get into those particular places. But grandchildren, children, a friend of mine just wrote a book about owls. It's really cute, the whole perspective. She doesn't have grandchildren, but she reached out to her sister and her kids. And she has really three very good beta readers through that process, just to get that. She was just so tickled pink with the feedback. She said, this is so fun. Look what they wrote. I said, I know, right? It is good. When you ask the right questions, you can really get some feedback.
I think that's the key, is asking the right questions. So again, for those of you that are listening, be sure and go to clpostal.com and download the beta reader toolkit. Be sure that you do that.
It's a questionnaire, not a toolkit. It's a questionnaire.
Or questionnaire. Okay.
Yeah. The toolkit is just something that I created. It's just adorable. Like I said, even adults like to play with the pencils and the little flag.
Okay.
I had one beta reader. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do blue is going to be for sad. Green is going to be, I loved it. Red is going to be confusing. I said, well, hopefully you don't run out of flags before you get through my book. And I told him, I said, Locke, you don't need to be that specific about it. But if you want to color code, feel free to color code. It would help me. You know, I can flip through and find the red flags real fast or the blue. But you can see from that manuscript I showed you, it looks like an international parade went through my... They do not hesitate to write. Again, the electronic is wonderful for professionals and editors. I edit a lot online. I still prefer to have it written out. Mm-hmm. And I do my little edit marks and then I'll go back, which is probably time consuming, but I'm, you know, of that genre, of that age where I want to read it, feel it, and write. And if I have a pencil in my hand, I will make notes on everything. Love this, hate that. What are you talking about? What's going on here? And a lot of times you get questions in your manuscript that you know you're answering later. But what does that tell you about the reader? It says they're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking the right questions. They want to know what happened to this project. Awesome. So now I know I did it, right? I did hit that. And if they write, oh, I cried when you did this. Perfect. That's what I want. Now, if I didn't want them to cry there, wow, I missed that beat, didn't I? Yeah. So this is what beta readers do. They're just average readers that read a ton of stuff. That can give you this information and save you the embarrassment of publishing too soon.
Well, let's talk about marketing once you do publish. You actually launched as an Amazon bestseller. What do we need to know? Tell us what we need to know.
I use Publishers Rocket. I have a subscription to it. Publishers Rocket is designed specifically for writers. It lets you know on a daily basis, they update it. What people are searching for separates all the books, all the genres. So what I did was Amazon has what they call keywords, and they allow you so many keywords for your book. When you scroll down, find a book on Amazon, any book you want, scroll down and look at the metrics, where they are in the number one bestseller. There's some numbers down there. It's very simple. You can Google it. What does it all mean on Amazon? And there's a ton of free tutorials on how to figure out Amazon for books. And so I picked some categories that were very sparse, let's just say. And I knew that if I sold a couple books on that day all at once, I was going to be a bestseller. And Amazon does all that for you, okay? They just do it for you. Boom, you get an email the next day that says, congratulations, your book is a bestseller. You screenshot it, you throw it on your website, and you use it as advertising. It doesn't mean I sold 1,000 books, by the way. I mean, total transparency here, okay? I didn't sell 1,000 books the first day. Did not. Didn't have to. I only needed to put the right keywords. And then they have this thing on Amazon. It's called algorithms. Mm-hmm. Okay, I am not into math, okay? But I understand Big Al. I know him really well now. And here's this big monster. I call him Big Al. Big Al is always asleep. He's very tired. And he only wakes up for one thing, and that's to eat. And he only eats one thing, new content. That's all you have to know, new content. So what I do is every 90 days, I tweak my bio. I go into my Amazon account, and I add a few words to my biography. Boom, it wakes up. Oh. It wakes up Al, and Al says, oh, I need to pay attention. I changed my book description, and all of a sudden, I got a bunch of attention, okay? What else do I do? Again, you wake up Al. You want to wake Al up and let him know what's going on. Reviews wake Al up. So anytime you get a bunch of reviews that come through because you've done an email campaign or you asked for those reviews and you get a bunch of those reviews, you wake up Big Al. Big Al wakes up in the morning and goes, I'm hungry. Well, what does he want to eat? New content. So give him the new content. So there's little things that you can do on Amazon. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do that, which is a joke because my good friend is a rocket scientist. And she even wears a shirt that says, yes, I'm really a rocket scientist. I love it. It sounds overwhelming and confusing, but it's really not.
Well, I made a note about editing my bio on my author bio every 90. Now, 90 days, is that kind of the magic number?
No, I do it 60 to 90 days, 90, because I'm kind of lazy. I look at it about every 30 days. I don't change it every 30 days. If it's a nonfiction, send out a press release. If it's, for instance, if you're writing about how the heat affects dogs in the summertime and it's a good selling book and people want to buy it, wait till the summer and you will see a launch on Channel 2 News, whatever the news. Somebody's going to pick that up because we all talk, right? Summertime, they don't have any water. You see these ASPCA commercials. Use that to your advantage. That's called public relations and it's free. Okay. There's a big difference between marketing. Marketing equals dollars. I pay for marketing. PR can get you more attention, and PR is always free. Press releases, local paper. We have a little local paper here called The Leader. Okay. It goes out to like just the city around here. They love to interview authors. They love to know that, hey, a local person did. So there you go, right there all of a sudden. And occasionally, if the story is good, the AP picks it up. And the next thing you know, you're getting attention from AP, which could be anything. As big as Oprah Winfrey or as just small as local TV. People underestimate the hunger for news that's out there, okay? So don't ever underestimate yourself. You have a great product. You have a great book. Share it with people and don't be afraid to share it. If it means, you know, doing the press releases, if it means going to the local paper and walking in the door and talking to them about it, absolutely do that. You know, look for podcasts. Always. Podcasts are awesome. Blogs. Mm-hmm. Be a guest blogger. Oh my gosh. If you're a writer and you can write some really quick articles and then you find a good, follow the blog. Don't be a stalker and just do it to get a blog spot. There's some great writers' blogs out there that you can listen to, you know, as you're driving in the car, watch them on your phone, whatever, and contribute to those. The next thing you know, you're being invited to do an article, or you're being, like I am, being invited to do a webcast, because that's how it works. It's about a network, and writers can be shy. I've never had that problem, but again, I came from a marketing background where leadership meant speaking up. You don't sit in a room with an executive board and stay quiet, or you won't last very long. Even when it's wrong, speak up. You're not wrong. You're an author. That is amazing. Anybody out there that's watching this, if you finish your first draft, you are amongst a very small amount of people that accomplished that goal. Patrick, you deserve the congratulations, but don't stop there. You are right at the edge of that cliff. Jump off. It's beautiful. You won't fall. You will float. You will fly. And get your book out there. Don't be afraid. That's my biggest advice to authors, is get your book out there. But make sure that what you're putting out is the best that it can be. And that just means feedback.
Gosh, I've loved this entire conversation. You're just amazing. I wish I lived closer to you. I would love to go to your workshops. Let me ask you this for our listeners. And again, for those of you that are listening in, all the replays, you can find those at kathybinner.com. Scroll down the homepage till you get to the Ohio Writers Guild of the free meetups, and you'll find this replay. We also have a podcast under Freestyle Living, and you will get the audio version of tonight's meetup actually on our podcast. So We have a couple thousand listeners over there, so some other folks will tune in and get to hear this interview as well. So please, tap in and be a part of what we're doing. And Cherie, tell us again where folks can find you, and do you have on your website where you are speaking at some of these workshops? Someplace where we can find you?
It's on an events page. There is an events page on my website. Just go there. You'll see where I'm going. I don't look too far on my calendar, but I know my next workshop, and that's a paid workshop though. That's because when I do paid conferences, the workshop is paid. So I expect to be paid for that. So you'd have to pay for that. I just got finished doing Alaska, the Maine Writers Guild. I don't think I have anything scheduled until after the first of the year for my workshops, but again, they're free and I keep them up to date on my workshop. But I love to hear from writers. I have writers that email me and say, well, I'm writing this genre. Can you give a few questions that I could put on my beta reader? But sure, I'd love to do that. Go ahead and reach out at Cherie@clpostal.com. Email me. I know I just said I get 1,000 of them, and at the end of the week, I never slash writers, ever. They are always my priority. I love to be a book coach. I've helped many, many people get their books launched as far as coaching them on the steps of where to go to get that done. The biggest thing is just, here's one for you. When we're done, look up the Helsinki bus station theory. I got this from an agent, and I'm blanking on his name. It's Jabberwocky Literary Agency. I can't believe I don't remember it. He's the one that said this to me. This is definitely for writers. It's about persistence and staying on that bus, because this is where writers, they fall off the bus and they give up. I can't tell you the number of manuscripts that are probably, even Dr. Seuss, who's one of my favorite authors, they found manuscripts that he didn't publish. So his kids went and took them and published them. And I was one of the first to buy one. I'm like, whoa, a new Dr. Seuss book? You got to be kidding me. Anybody that can take 26 words and write an entire children's book around it and makes up words whenever he can't figure one out, that's my kind of writer. Yeah. And he just captivated an audience, and he will forever. I mean, his books are classic. They're just heirlooms in our house. So yeah, that's also a lot of fun to do that, just to look and see.
I love it. I love it. And of course, even it doesn't matter how many books I have, I still buy more because I love books. I just do. I always have. And I think it's just inherent in there for those of us that are avid readers and then writers. I think it's just in there. It's just inherently in there. And so for those of you that have joined us this evening, put in the chat for us, if you would, how many of you are actually authors already, published authors? Is there anyone published? We've got some folks in the audience. Let us know if we have any published authors there. We'd like to celebrate with you.
Oh, yeah. But somebody did have a question about it's Helsinki bus station theory. But I think if you literally just Google Helsinki bus station, you're going to get that theory. It's a speech that was given. It's for writers. It's very short, but it is so appropriate. And when you read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. And you'll see how much it pertains to what we are currently doing right now, is getting these things done and just being confident in yourself. Writing is a craft. It takes a lot of work. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. It takes a long time to get everything.
Do you do any one-on-one coaching at all, Cherie?
I am definitely thinking on those lines. I'm not open to it yet because I do so much mentoring. And I need to get that off my plate first. I'll tell you, it's just so exciting though, to see an author and say, oh, I helped them get there. Oh my gosh. To me, that's just a thrill. It's better than a roller coaster. Yeah. It's just wonderful. And that's what I want for people. I want them to see that publishing dream come true. It can come true. It will come true, and have realistic expectations. I didn't go into this thinking I'm going to be a best-selling author. I only wrote the book so that I had something to hand out in my workshops, and that it gave me that credibility when somebody said, yeah, when I'm competing for a workshop, oh, you wrote the book. Well, gee, I work with authors. So if I wrote the book, yeah, they're going to want to put me on board. And then I get to tell everybody why they need beta readers, how critical feedback is, and how to get that feedback. So yeah, that's,
I love it.
Yeah.
Cherie, I just love it. Deborah says that she has published op-eds, but no books yet. So hopefully, Deborah, I don't know if that's in your future, but I assume that it might be because you are here with us. Sylvia says I've had some poetry published, but not a whole book. So I don't consider myself an author yet. Yes, you are. If you've published some poetry, you're an author. And Deborah said she is working on it. Yes. So yes.
I did my first really in-depth poetry with the poet laureate from Missouri. And I had no idea how much I love poetry until I met Janie Iber. And her poetry is so beautiful. It's so contemporary. It's not what I thought. So what I will say, you don't know my husband, but let me just say, even my husband read her poems. And he is not, yeah, he's in, we're not talking, yeah, this I might like marry Daniel Boone, I think. So yeah, he did not, and he even appreciated some of the poetry. It's beautiful. So I learned how to critique poetry only because the school district asked me if I would work with a young writer who turned out to be a poet. And I was nervous as heck. I said, how am I going to do this? And what I found out that writing poetry is, to me, the most edited version of an idea, the most incredible, succinct way of putting something that clicks. And that, to me, is a talent. I could not write poetry. I'm way too verbal for that. You know, I'm the person that's editing and slashing and editing because I've written like so much. So, and everybody has different ideas how that works. You know, I mean, some of us are plotters, some of us are pantsers, if you know what that is, meaning we don't do, and some people are right in between. I had the privilege of seeing J.K. Rowling's notes. Unbelievable. She had a spreadsheet that was wider than my screen. This is how she kept track of all her characters. She literally had Harry, Hermione, Snape, every character, and where they were in every single scene and chapter. So in her head, this is going on, but she knew where they all were, which is important when you've got, think of how complicated some of her books were and the number of characters. So that's another thing that authors have a lot of fun doing. And that's another place where beta readers can help and let you know that you haven't complicated. One of the feedback I got, for instance, from my beta readers, authors do this. We get on a letter and we name everybody the same, Jason, Jace, Jimmy, John, it's all J, 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 or K, 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 K. And then we're supposed to go back later and change those names, but we don't always do that. So two of my beta readers said, you know, you need to take either Jason or Jace because I'm confused. That's really good for me to know. So I completely changed it. It's not even a J anymore to make sure that those two characters didn't conflict. Because if my readers in their head are having trouble, that's what I want to know from a beta reader. I want to know that they're flowing, they're excited, they're engaged, they want to know what's going on, not that they're stumbling over the names that I used. So I don't know why I do that. I don't know. Do other people do that? It's just a bad habit of mine. Yeah. I start on a, I had like Crystal, Kylie, Keith, Kevin. Well, you know, maybe it's because of the shelter. Franklin County Humane Society, where I get my dogs and I always rescue animals. Whenever a litter comes in, maybe that was it. It's always the same letter so they can keep track of the litter and the date they came in. So like this last litter that came in was Kenny, Kevin, Keith, and Coral, right? All K's. So maybe that's what it is. Subliminally, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Joe says he has nothing published yet. 55,000 words on the first novel. He said he's stuck on first person versus third person. Rewrite to third from first and cannot decide. More stuck there and then writer's block. So yeah, we all get that.
Yeah, I would dive into a couple free tutorials or just look up the effects of point of view. I'm on a panel, as a matter of fact, at Archon, which is a conference for, anyway, it's a writer's conference. And the panel is point of view. It's how to choose point of view. What's the biggest advantage? What's the disadvantage? You know, obviously very quickly, first person is a limited point of view. So you're very tight. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. Everything that happens in that book, the main character has to know it. There's no secrets in there because you're right there first. I did this. I did that. It's very specific, very close. And most common is to do that narrative, close personal, where you're almost always with the main character. He's in most of the scenes, but it gives you an opportunity as a narrator to explain a few things and pull the reader out once in a while. So that's probably the most common. And then there's the omnipotent point of view where you're strictly going. Head hopping is horrible with people when they start head hopping. I don't know if you ever read a book where you never know who's talking or who's doing what. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's complicated. So if you're having trouble with your point of view, two things you can do. One, do a little studying, just read some articles, go to Writer's Digest. They have beautiful, Readsy is a great source for free blogs, and just go online and find out what other people talked about point of view, what the advantages and disadvantages were. Anytime you're stuck in a manuscript, forget it, move on. Go back later. If I spend more than 20 minutes, and I'll do this, on one sentence, I'm not kidding, or a paragraph, yeah. I have learned the hard way over many, many years of writing, flag it and move on. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll have a glass of wine, it'll make sense. Maybe something will hit me. I mean, we're writers. We know that we're nuts. We get out of the shower taking notes, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we're all a little bit, we're in our worlds, okay? Mm-hmm. So my advice to him is whatever feels most comfortable in that world, stick with that, okay? I don't know the genre that he's writing, but don't let that stop you from getting your story out there. You know, Stephen King said the first draft is shit. And I can say that word online because he used it, right? Okay. And it really is. It's not good. We're just vomiting words. We're getting a story out there. Mm-hmm. And normally when point of view is an issue, it means the story hasn't gelled. Yeah. That's normally, if the story hasn't gelled yet, we're going to have trouble with point of view. And then there's always those info dumps. We don't want to dump information on people. You know, the old writer's trick, let's do a phone call and give all the information between two people, or let's do a news broadcast and all the information. Yeah, those are just some little tricks that writers use. And sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. But again, my advice would be if you're having trouble with that, move on. Just keep writing and see where it goes.
Yeah. And another suggestion might be to take a significant 3 pages in each point of view, give it to somebody and say, what do you think? First or third, what grabs you? Which one would make you want to read more? Just an idea.
That's wonderful. That is a good idea. Get some feedback from some people and say which one, if you can write one or two chapters in first person and then third person or second, do that and see which is preferred by the different, I like that idea. Then you can get some feedback on that. To see which point of view is more. I like the first person for younger audiences love the first person. Mm-hmm. They like the, you know, because I knew he wasn't going to do that. So I decided that they love that. That voice mm-hmm. is very, as you get into the murder mysteries and the thrillers, it's difficult to do a first person mm-hmm. because there's so much going on and so much information. Some of my favorite books in those genres is when they flip chapters. This one's Nick. This one's this one. This, and you're always getting it from, that's fun to read. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or you can play with your point of view and give it a little bit of pizzazz, but don't let it stop your writing. And you really need to just keep moving forward.
Good advice. Deborah said she uses the Michelangelo method where she writes a block of words and then she chisels away everything that isn't a part of the final piece based on her work. I love that. I love that. Shifting passive voice to active voice wherever she can find it. Joe says, okay, I started first and converted to third and feel better in it. It's fiction based on a true story. Right. And then Deborah says the angel is in the architecture. Sylvia says, I read where some author advised that your goal should not be to write a good first draft. Your goal should be to write a terrible first draft. Maybe that was Stephen King.
Well, I don't know that that's my goal to write a terrible draft, but it works that way because you don't want to slow yourself down. If you have a story in your head, you're seeing the characters, you're progressing along. You want to make sure that those characters are working, that you've got that depth in them, that you've got your plot moving. All of those things are going to play into that. But yeah, that's, I love that. I've never heard the Michelangelo. I love that because that is so true. You put it all down and then you go back and you edit everything that doesn't belong or anything you don't want there. Sometimes you start moving things around, chapters. I like, and there's some free writing software too. I use Grammarly Pro, so I pay for that. I love Grammarly Pro. I know Pro Writing is also another one that, you can get, I think it's like $40 or $80 a year. It's a subscription now, but man, it's got 21 writing metrics. I don't like to write in it because it shows me as I'm going. I like to put my stuff. And then if you go and just do Hemingway app, Hemingway APP in Google or any Safari, it will pull you up a free where you can dump it in. And Hemingway is not a Grammarly. It tells you about active passive voice. It tells you if your sentences are complicated. It tells you what grade, what age level you're writing at or what particular reader level. And it highlights things. Like, this is a really hard sentence to read. This is a really hard sentence to read. You've used 13 adjectives in this. Maybe you should, because it only gives you so many adjectives per page. Ideally, we all know that as writers, adjectives should be used like salt, just sprinkle lightly, right? Because you should be showing, not telling, right? So there you go. That's another free resource. I like Hemingway a lot. I have all my kids that I work with using Hemingway, because sometimes understanding the difference between passive and active, people immediately think I'm talking about past tense. No, it's got nothing to do with that. Yeah. It's passive voice and active voice. So that helps you. Hemingway is, don't do everything it says. Oh my God, don't do anything says, but use it as a benchmark. I like to throw my work in there to know what grade level I'm writing for, whether it's difficult to read, whether I pass the readability test. Yeah, Hemingway, that is absolutely Hemingway. But just put Hemingway APP app.
Hemingway app. Very good.
It'll pull it right up for you. And then you can literally cut and paste and dump your manuscript in there. I'm just kind of old fashioned. I dump my manuscript on one screen and then I have my manuscript on the other. And I look to see what it wants me to do. And I make some of the changes as I'm going along with my manuscript. So that way I'm not writing in the software itself. I'm writing my own and then just transferring it into my own. I found some really interesting, it's got some good advice, and it's good for a new writer to see. Mm-hmm. It'll tell you how difficult it is to read, how many adverbs you've used, adjectives, passive active voice. It's a great little teacher when it comes to that.
Yes, I think it would help for new writers to actually get better.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we've had a wonderful evening with you, Cherie. I love it. I love it. I love it. Let me see. Deborah said one more thing. The difference between the right word and almost the right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. But that's by Mark Twain. She says, I live by that.
I like it. I like it.
I like it too. Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Cherie.
Thank you.
And Sandy, thank you for being on with me this evening. And I want to thank Deborah and Joe and Karen and Sylvia. Thank you so much for listening in on this great interview. Again, go to kathybinner.com, scroll down to the Ohio Writers Guild for the free replays. And that way you can check out all of the information that we talked about tonight. I'll put that in the replay description as well. So definitely connect with Cherie, connect with us. And yes, and we will see you next month. And thank you everyone for being with us. Everyone's giving kudos and finding it helpful. And so I always have to just double check my calendar. We are the second Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock. So the second Tuesday of every month at 6 o'clock Eastern time, you can tap in and listen to our interview live. And so with that, we are gonna go for this evening and we'll see everyone next month. Now, Cherie, before we do disconnect, I do wanna tell you that I will follow up and I will give you all of the links of this recording, and you can use it however you wish in full or in part on any of your marketing or whatever works for you. You are welcome to use the recording.
Thank you. Again, I just need to say thank you for inviting me. It's always a privilege to reach out and even just think that I've helped other people make their publishing dream come true, because nonfiction or fiction, being a published author is a great feeling and you can all do it. Again, I'm not going to say how old I am, but if you can start at my age and become something completely different, I've done it 3 times, anybody can do it. So just do it. Be confident in yourself.
Good. Thank you so much for that. That is great advice. And with that, we're going to go and we'll see everyone next month. Yep. See you then.
Okay. Take care.
Bye everyone.